let's do the thing.
And we're going.
We're going?
We're going.
Oh no.
Is this... Wait, most important part of the podcast.
Yeah, I did that beforehand.
Gotta open the Dr. Pepper.
And is this 53?
Yeah. 28.
But 53 podcasts.
53 podcasts.
We're gonna have to... We have to do the Marvel numbering.
I thought about that. I don't want people to one day just be like,
I know.
You're missing 25 podcasts. No, no, they're just... Elsewhere on the website. Go find them.
No, we'll do the thing where, like, when they lead up to, like, 500 or 100, how they have, like, the gray number next to the issue number. So it's like, hey, this is 28, but really 53.
So I'll just start putting, like, Room for the Nerd stuff number 28, and then parentheses, I'll just put 53.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, this is our 53rd podcast. Applause. Yay. Yay.
Yeah, we've been doing this, killing an hour a week for over a year.
I did have a funny little thing. I put up a Let's Play.
Mm-hmm.
I started doing a Let's Play of Marvel Superheroes. I had actually bought it during the Steam sale specifically for a Let's Play because it was $5 and I thought that'd be fun to do a Let's Play of. And I'm really enjoying it. It is a lot of fun. The first two videos have kind of negligible audio quality because I didn't know how to do auto ducking at the time. Auto ducking is what your Elgato does for you automatically. My Hapaj
kills the internet.
And we're going.
Yay.
Take two.
You still have...
Because microphones hate us.
You still have the first part.
I do, but it's 2 minutes, so fuck it. We're just gonna...
But we have the whole numbering... Fuck it.
Anyways, as I was saying, I put up a Let's Play of Marvel Superheroes. The first two parts have audio issues because I didn't know how to do auto ducking, which is it's called auto ducking or side chaining. Basically, when I talk, the game audio drops down so you can hear me talk. Then when I'm not talking, it rises back up so you can hear the game audio while I'm not talking. Your Elgato does that for you automatically, I think you said.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm learning how to do this for the third video when I'm editing it. And I'm reading how you do it in Audition. So I have Premiere and Audition, and I was like, it'd probably be easier to just do it in Audition. And it's like, go here and click this, it's tweak all these blah, 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 all this. It's this fucking, like, super involved goddamn process to do auto-ducking. And I read through it, and I'm like, I think I could do that. And I'm like, let's check and see how you do it in Audacity. You know how you do it in Audacity, Mike?
How do you do it in Audacity?
You just hit a button that says auto-duck.
That would make it easy.
I fucking love Audacity. And as soon as I read that, I knew you would love that because there's that running joke of Chris is going to edit the podcast. You just hit a button that says remove silence.
Are you going to do, you're just going to click a button that says auto ducking.
I already applied that to a couple of the Super Sentai videos and they sound so much better now.
We didn't have any sound on those.
Exactly.
So like, what are you, you're quieting silence so that you can hear us better?
Well, no. I thought taking the audio out would get around the copyright issues. It turns out that's not true at all.
They're still only, like, copyright in Japan, aren't they?
Yeah, they're still only... They're not going to be taken down for us. And I think we may still technically qualify as fair use because we're doing criticism.
Ranger Riffs didn't... They didn't buy it for that.
Well, that's Saban.
For comedic or parody or commentary or whatever it is, it's used as fair use. And they were like, no, we don't think it is. And I don't have the money to fight Saban on that.
I've already uploaded one with the changed up audio and they didn't say, they said the usual shit. We're not going to show this in Japan. And I was like, well, they can't fucking understand me anyway, so I don't really care.
They're not really going to get anything out of it. Sorry, Japan.
They're going to be like, man, I want to watch these guys talk about Super Sentai, but I sure do wish they would learn Japanese. Japan, if you will all watch the Super Sentai videos, we will learn Japanese.
That's no, not a promise you should make.
No, we won't.
Not that we don't love you, Japan.
We do. You're fucking wacky, and we love you for it.
But I've tried learning Japanese twice, and it didn't take. We'll just put it that way.
Why did you try to learn Japanese?
It was in the, like... mid to late 90s, when anime was huge and everyone wanted to be super kawaii.
I thought you hated anime.
I do now.
Because you couldn't learn Japanese.
When it was the cool thing and I wanted to be part of the in crowd, which I found out was not really the in crowd.
The increase
It was
sucks.
like, yeah, I
Fuck.
should watch these shows and learn all this stuff, and then I realized that it actually sucked and fuck those people.
So that's Mike and I's lesson for today. The in crowd? Fuck them.
Fuck 'em.
I mean, don't actually fuck them. That's what they want.
You can if you
But
want.
fuck them. So I guess we should get this out of the way. Speaking of Power Rangers,
Yes.
they announced writers for the Power Rangers movie.
Saw that.
Did you see who they announced?
I can't remember their names, but I know that they wrote X-Men First Class.
Ashley Miller and Zach Stentz. They worked on First Class and they worked on the first Thor movie.
And one of them did Transformers, the first
That would be
three.
Roberto Orci. He's going to be serving as the EP. He'll also be helping with the screenplay. They also have one of the executive producers from the first Hunger Games movie helping out.
So they have got, like, at
They've
least
put.
behind the scenes, they have got a hell of a crew working on
Yeah.
this thing.
Could you imagine a Power Rangers movie, like quality-wise, on terms with First Class?
That would be amazing.
Oh, I think the term you're looking for is more
No, that is
phenomenal.
not the phrase I'm looking for. That's not the phrase I was looking for at all.
And then we find out the Power Rangers are like 7 foot tall CGI aliens.
What? Childhood ruined. I hate everything. Me. Fucking nerds.
First TV trailer comes out, and Megan Fox is like, "No, they're not aliens. They're just high school kids, and they're ninjas."
Yeah, that'd be stupid. Don't be stupid. They're not aliens. Then they look at their camera and wink. Fuck.
Please buy a ticket to our movie.
I
No,
don't know why
they've got a.
Tommy Wiseau is selling the Power Rangers movie. Come
Oh,
watch
hello,
movie.
Rangers.
Aha!
Oh, hello, Rangers. Welcome to my command center. That was a little more Elmer Fudd than Tommy Wiseau, I
But anyway, yes, they've got a pretty decent crew from the sounds of it, so, I mean, we'll see.
It's now that they've got those people attached to it, and it's not just Lionsgate said they're totally honestly for realsies gonna do this. I'm kind of starting to get a little excited to see what happens.
I'm still not gonna get excited. I want to wait until I'm actually sitting in the theater watching it. Then I'll know that it was made.
Even then, just to be able to see some of the concept art and see what these people want to do with it, I would really be excited to get a look at that.
Yeah, it's still way too early to tell. Like, I'm sure you got the tweet too. I can't remember who sent it that was like, "Oh my God, they announced writers for the Power Rangers movie. I didn't expect that." And I was like, "So they've got writers. That hardly
Yeah.
means anything at this point."
I can think of six projects I have to my name that have a writer on them, but
Yes.
nothing else, so.
Like, how many scripts are floating around Hollywood just waiting to be made? It's like having writers or a script doesn't mean anything.
So, Mike, if you were a writer on this Power Rangers movie, because I don't think we've had this discussion.
I would have all the villains all show up at once.
No, seriously, what
If
would you
we were
do?
both the writers, I would have all the villains show up at once to fight a bunch of paraplegics.
I really liked it up until the Power Rangers started crying. It was really good up until then.
That's basically our two Power Ranger reboots in a nutshell.
I only had one paraplegic, and he was coping with it very well. It was a character moment. I don't expect you to understand what those are.
Have every villain in the entire 20-year history of Power Rangers fight a bunch of
And
paraplegics.
20 years worth of paraplegic Power Rangers. They all roll up in their dinosaur wheelchairs.
So now, what would I do with it?
Zordon is just Stephen Hawking in this. And Mormonheim.
I think we did discuss that. I'm imagining it's going to be a trilogy because everything's a fucking trilogy.
Everything's a fucking trilogy.
That the first movie will be essentially not everything, but it'll be before Green with Evil. The second movie will be Green with Evil. And then the third movie will be the defeat of Rita, possibly with the teaser of Lord Zedd, if they decide to do that.
That sounds about right. I was thinking that to myself earlier today. I kind of feel like they'll find some way to ham-handedly shove the Green Ranger into the first movie. Just because even today, that is, it's such a marketable character.
Well, yeah, but that's why I think that, like, at the end of the movie, like, do a post-credits thing. Stinger, is that what they're called?
Stinger.
Woo! Where, like, maybe, like, at the end of the movie, Goldar's beat up. Rita's like, I can't believe we lost, but I've got this backup plan, and then opens up a box or something, and there's the dragon coin sitting in it, and then second movie, set up, we've got the Green Ranger. And that'll get everyone super fucking excited, because Green Ranger.
Cut to Jason David Frank's Twitter feed. Hey guys, I'm not doing anything next year.
If you need anything, I work cheap.
Two pancakes, that's all I cost.
Yeah, that's what I think they'll do with the movies. But we'll see. I mean, they could do something completely different than anything we've seen on television.
They won't.
Like, long silence, and then, nah, they won't.
I'm in my head like, what could they possibly do? And I'm just like, that won't happen. It's going to feature as many awkward references to the original series as possible.
Michael Bay's not doing it, so.
Give it time.
They don't have a director yet.
The guy that's their EP was the EP on all the Transformers movies, so give it time.
Yeah, but he's got the Ninja Turtles franchise to oversee.
Who, Michael Bay?
Yeah.
Let's see. Roberto Orci's credits include, I'm going to go ahead and run these off.
How many of them are Michael Bay films?
Co-writer on The Legend of Zorro, co-writer on The Island, co-writer on Mission Impossible 3, co-writer on Transformers, producer on Eagle Eye, uncredited script polish on Watchmen, co-writer and EP on Star Trek, co-writer on Revenge of the Fallen, EP on The Proposal, co-writer and producer on Cowboys and Aliens, co-writer and producer on People Like Us, co-writer and producer on Star Trek Into Darkness, producer of Now You See Me, producer on Ender's Game, co-writer and EP on The Amazing Spider-Man 2, co-writer of The Amazing Spider-Man 3, producer of The Mummy reboot that's coming out in 2016.
Oh, a couple Michael Bay movies.
Couple Michael Bay movies.
God, he really dropped the ball on that script polish for Watchmen, didn't he?
Also, his TV credits include writer and co-executive producer of Hercules, The Legendary Journeys, and Xena, Warrior Princess.
Sweet.
Also a writer, supervising producer, co-EP, and EP of Alias. And Fringe.
There you go.
There you go. Watch it just be like a high concept, big budget, frame for frame remake of Turbo.
That wouldn't be the worst thing.
It could be the worst thing, but it wouldn't be.
If they took that movie, maybe bumped up any actual Power Rangers stuff to less than an hour into the film, and put some money into it, I think they could squeeze a decent movie out of that script.
Squeeze a decent bowel movement out of that one. Now, by contrast, the other two writers, Zach Stentz and Ashley Miller, who are both dudes. I did not realize that. I thought Ashley Miller was a female, for sure. Oops. They both worked on Terminator, The Sarah Connor Chronicles, Fringe, First Class, Thor, as writers, and they were producers on Terminator, Sarah Connor Chronicles. Which you loved, and I never got around to watching.
I did love. I still haven't watched the season finale, or the series finale, because now it's not over. It hasn't ended yet.
It's not over until you watch it. On Mike's deathbed, he's like, bring me the finale of the Sarah Connor Chronicles. Now we can both end in peace.
I'll find out it end, like, really stupidly, and, like, my dying breath will be, no! That's not how it ended!
God damn you, Fox!
Anyway.
Hey, we got our Power Rangers talk out of the way in 15 minutes.
Woohoo!
Go us.
Now, after we're done recording the podcast, we can go watch more Power Rangers and not talk about it. We can talk about anything what's on the fucking show.
Anything. Anything else but Power Rangers. I am, of course, straight repping right now. Mike, are you wearing your CM Punk t-shirt?
I am not.
He's gone from the company.
I'm wearing the poison mushroom from Mario Brothers that says game over, so I think it fits
close enough. Close enough. CM Punk, whose contract expired this month with WWE, has left the company officially.
This week?
This week.
It expired on Thursday, which is totally before we recorded this.
And has now moved into the alumni section. Reports are indicating that even though his wife, AJ Lee, is back in the company, the relationship between Punk and the WWE is still somewhat strained. Neither of them have really talked since he left. He's too busy being a local Chicago celebrity.
See, I think that this is a political move on Punk's part. Because you remember when he was ready to leave before he won the championship during the whole Summer of Punk thing.
Right.
But he ended up not leaving and signing a new contract, like, on his way out to the ring for his match.
That's probably my favorite Punk story to date.
But I think that when he re-signed, that gave WWE a message that we got him. He's under our thumb, we can control him, etc., etc. Then they just kind of fucked with him after, like, they gave him a long title run and then fucked with him. And I think that this was a political move on his part to be like, see, I don't need you guys. You need me more than I need you. And now he has even more leverage coming back.
Yeah.
So I think he'll take a couple more months off, and then I honestly would not be surprised to see him back in the company by next WrestleMania. Because he didn't come back for WrestleMania payoff. He doesn't need it. He didn't come back at any point. He didn't come back when they were in his hometown. Doesn't need it. WWE can make a lot of money off of CM Punk. CM Punk has a lot of money and doesn't need WWE, which pisses Vince off. He hates people that can make a living outside of his company. But yeah, Punk has all the political stroke right now because he doesn't need him.
Stroke. No, I agree. I've been saying that since the beginning. We're going to see him back in a ring, WWE ring at some point. He's not going to go to TNA. He might wind up in Ring of Honor if he decides he wants to hang out there for a little bit. And especially right now, the WWE network looks to be failing so bad so that WWE was finally like, look, CM Punk documentary. We're going to advertise this twice during Raw. Please watch this. Please subscribe. We're going to give this to you for a week for free. Please?
I think reports on it failing necessarily are a little skewed.
It's not failing.
It's not failing. It's not succeeding as WWE would hope that it would.
It was hyped up as something that was going to really redefine the company. But they hyped it up too much, and it's meeting what would be the normal expectations for something like this, which is an a la carte paid service for something that is still admittedly kind of a niche in America. But the way they hyped it up was it was going to, like, fucking blow Netflix out of the water and redefine cable television. And
well, the thing that bothered me about it was they were saying, like, there's going to be the Monday Night Wars sort of documentary show. You're going to get all the past Raws, Nitros, SmackDowns, Thunders. All this stuff is coming out on the network, all the pay-per-views. And then
not up.
It's like we're, what, 6 months past its launch?
Coming right up on it.
Yeah, and, I mean, they've got a handful of Raws, handful of SmackDowns. No WCW programming other than the pay-per-views.
I believe, if I remember correctly, the initial, like, the very first six-month signups expire, like, the week before SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I mean, all this content they promised, and I've said before, I don't really watch a lot of the network right now. If I'm gaming or kind of working on something, it's really good background noise. I like it for the pay-per-views. I would love to sit down and watch a bunch of old Raws or Nitros. I've watched a few old pay-per-views. But all this content that they promised you would be there. And I could get, like, not releasing it all at once, kind of releasing it in kind of phases so that it's not like, here's everything day one, we have nothing else new to offer you.
Right.
But some of these, like, even some of the original programming that's been on there has not updated in 4 months.
But it's like, even if they did, like, they had original content coming out. If they had just uploaded their entire tape library day one, mm-hmm. I mean, that would give people enough stuff to, like, if they watched it and wanted to relive it again, they could go back anytime they wanted, watch that specific Raw that they remembered and loved, that specific Nitro that they remembered and loved. If they're kind of like me and didn't get into wrestling until around 98, 97,
mm-hmm.
then there's like 15 years of stuff before that that I didn't get to experience. And so I want to go back and see all that. And you could just like binge watch old Raws or Nitros or whatever anytime that you wanted.
Right.
And then with the new content, they could just stream that stuff whenever they wanted. They didn't need to like slowly drip out or allow whatever content they want you to have when they want you to have it.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
I would be a lot more happy if I could just open up the network and say, okay, I just feel like throwing on a playlist of like 9 hours of Raw so that I can get some work done and have some background noise and it's just on.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I really do with it too. I'll just like go to the live stream and leave it running in the background.
Yeah, but and then, so often yeah. like the live stream, it's like I'll come in the middle of a best of Raw, best of SmackDown, and then I've got like an hour of that to watch and kind of enjoy, and then I get to watch like the recap of the Raw Rebound or
yeah,
whatever bullshit Total Divas.
Here's Money in the Bank 2012, 3 times in a row.
Yeah. It's like, I certainly don't want to watch, like, some of the more recent stuff on there. I wanted to get it to watch some of the older stuff.
I do kind of worry that what's going to happen, because they're getting ready to finally launch the Monday Night Wars. And we've already seen WWE has this near crippling reliance on, look how good we were.
Right. They still want to show that, like, yeah, they might have been doing better in the ratings, but we had the better show when they didn't.
Yeah.
It's the whole whoever won the war gets to write the history book sort of thing, though.
Exactly. And as someone who has only kind of watched wrestling off and on into the last couple of years, I think 2011 was when I started, like, really kind of watching it regularly, and shortly after that was when the Rel Reactor started.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what kept me watching regularly, because God knows if it wasn't for that, I long ago would have went.
You came in at probably the worst time to actually start coming in as an adult viewer.
The guy with all the tattoos is really good, but everyone else.
Yeah.
I mean, I was lucky. I had stuff like that, and then I had a friend who was a huge punk mark, and he was like, no, just pay attention to this guy. He'll make you keep paying attention. And then I was there for Summer of Punk at Money in the Bank. I'm very tired. And I do remember that. I remember watching the Money in the Bank pay-per-view on a stream of some kind that I won't mention on the air. On a fucking little 11-inch netbook in the spare room at my ex-girlfriend's mom's house. And I was watching it. And beforehand, we'd all talked about it. We all concluded, there's no way in hell Punk's walking out with a title at Money in the Bank. His contract's up. He's leaving the company. I about woke my girlfriend up screaming when he when he won it. It's like, oh my god, he fucking did it. This is awesome. But aside from that, the product just really would not have held me. And now on the network, they're gonna keep kinda going, look, we were fucking awesome 20 years ago. Watch all this.
But they're not, the point is that they're not utilizing their tape library the way that they should be with the network. Right. And they could probably get a lot more subscribers if they would just say, here it all is, and start producing new content. But, yeah, not going
to
do it.
Yeah. I would like to see kind of a focus on the eras, but if they're going to do it when they get done with the Attitude Era, I'd like to see them go back and talk about some of the other stuff. Again, somebody who's relatively new to it, I'd love to see them talk about, like, God forbid, the Ruthless Aggression era, and talk about the people from that era and what happened to them, and go back and look at, like, the new generation and shit like that.
Well, there's one sort of big name during the Ruthless Aggression era that they can't really talk about.
Oh, yeah, Hardcore Holly. Yep. I forgot about him. Hardcore Holly. Give it time. They'll talk about him on the network. He's on, well, I mean, they already talk about him on the network in a roundabout way when they go, hey, by the way, these guys are performers.
Yeah. We don't condone what a lot of these guys do outside the ring, but they were part of our show.
We don't condone what this guy did in real life, but check out this WrestleMania main event.
It does kind of crack me up, though, when I open up a pay-per-view and they have, like, little markers for significant moments in the show. And it'll be like, there'll be just this string of yellow marks that for the first three or four matches of a WCW show, and then like a half hour of nothing, and then a bunch more yellow marks after that. I'll just click right into that middle of nothing, and oh yeah, it's a Chris Benoit match.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't mark that. That was the best part of the show.
Yeah, it's really weird. They must have just forgot. Interesting.
He's a forgettable guy for some reason. I can't remember why. Oh, that Chris Benoit.
And it's like, they're doing a really shitty job of hiding that they just don't want you to look at the Chris Benoit stuff when it's like this big chunk of the timeline that has no markers on it. Don't click here, nothing to see here.
So I guess it also is worth noting, during Monday Night Raw, it didn't finally happen, but it's close to finally happening. Sting showed up on Raw via a video package and looked like fucking Grumpy Cat. Sting had fun once. It turned on him.
From that video, that really could have been anybody in Sting makeup.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw not even a full, like, side profile of his face.
Well, you saw it at the end.
But he just kind of glances at the camera, but, I mean, it's...
I didn't think they were going to show him, because I remembered reading the casting call for that ad, and they had a Sting body double.
Yeah.
And I remember, because, you know, that clearly was not Sting's body in the close-up at one point. With, you know, the muscles and the much younger. Which, that's what I said. Somebody was like, who's going to turn on Sting first? And I said, it's going to be the fans when they realize the Sting they want in WWE was 15 years ago.
Yeah, they're not getting the Sting from WCW's heyday.
But I remember they had a casting call for that, and somebody was like, yeah, they got a Sting body double. They tried to get a guy who looked physically like Sting back then, and Sting was mentioned in a call, and he was like, I don't know why they didn't just call me. Ha ha ha. And now you know why he said that.
But yeah. And
he didn't want to kayfabe you.
Forgot about that. Thanks for reminding me, prick. But no, that day I was on the dirt sheets and people were like, oh, Sting's going to like show up at Raw and they're going to set up a SummerSlam match with him and all this stuff. And I'm just sitting there going, no, they won't. No, they are not. They're not going to do any of that. You are all idiots.
There has already been the report going around. Of course, Sting was asked about it. He was like, I'd love to have a match at WrestleMania with The Undertaker. And that's what all the headlines went with. Sting confirms he wants WrestleMania 31 match. And I'm like, no shit. Sting confirms he wants a goddamn paycheck. What's the fucking surprise? Nah, I don't really care about the money. I'd love to just face The Undertaker at, I don't know, Money in the Bank? Battleground, maybe?
Like, what's that? Sting wants a WrestleMania payday that he never got?
Oh.
Shock.
He'd
fucking face Santino Marella at WrestleMania if he got the payday for it.
No, he wouldn't. Santino retired.
That's a perfect way for him to end his career. WrestleMania 31 against Sting.
Getting his neck broke by Sting.
Yeah.
There is obviously still a lot of money to be made with Sting, even though we joke about the fact that the fans are going to be pretty pissed when they realize that Sting has aged. I will say he moved around pretty well still for a guy who's 55 years old in TNA. And it's also worth noting that working with WWE does give you, some options for better workout. And it also does give you a little bit of a better paycheck to inspire you to do a little better workout. Proof of that would be RVD.
Mm-hmm.
There was TNA RVD who did not look well. And then there's WWE RVD who looks like, you know, 2000 era RVD aged 15 years.
Yeah, TNA RVD ate a lot of donuts.
Pot jokes.
That wasn't even a pot joke. That was a fat joke.
I'm trying, ever since you pointed it out a few weeks ago, and I look at it, I'm like, I'm going to try to just not make RVD likes marijuana jokes. It's hard, man. When a guy looks like that and wears singlets that look like that, it's really hard not to be like, that's a man who enjoys a lot of marijuana.
Well, he's a legalization advocate, and his whole gimmick in ECW was that he smoked pot. He would have 420 written all over his tights in ECW. But it's too easy a joke is why I don't like it when everyone makes it when he comes out. Get creative with your fucking snark, you morons.
Be more creative than WWE, damn it. So with that in mind, even though Sting is 55 now and even though he's still pretty good in the ring, not past, he's nowhere near his prime. I will definitely say there is still some money to be made putting him in a WWE ring.
Oh yeah.
I think him and Undertaker would still put on a good match. They would definitely not put on the match they would have put in 2000, 2001. But the hype and the mystique surrounding the match and the fact that both of these guys, even at their age, are probably two of the better workers in the business, could really work off each other and put on one hell of a show.
Well, I think, like, even just because of how long they've been doing it, and even well into their later years in their career, they know how to get a lot out of doing very little.
Right.
So they could probably put on what would look like a hell of a match without actually doing the damage to their bodies that it seems like they are doing.
Yeah. And a lot of people are kind of pointing out now Undertaker can't go because of the Lesnar match, but I would dare to say that that match would have been a lot better if he hadn't concussed himself very early on.
Yeah, but I mean, I was reading up until like a month before that match that they were still wondering if he was even going to be able to be at WrestleMania.
Well, they've always wondered that the past few years. They always kind of go, maybe.
So it's like, who knows what shape he was in, and then, yes, he got concussed on top of that, and yeah. There was a lot of things working against them on that match.
Yeah, it's very likely that Undertaker is done. If he is not, I definitely think it would be stupid not to try to go for a Sting versus Undertaker payday. That'd be a hell of a match.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be the only match you need to do with Sting. I'm not saying there's not other great matches you could do with Sting. I see a lot of people clamoring for Sting versus Triple H for some fucking reason.
Yeah, I've never seen those two as opponents.
I think they just want Sting to fight everybody who was big in WWE in its heyday.
Who's still left from the 90s? Triple
who's
H.
Who's still left? Is Shawn Michaels out of that forest yet? Or
I mean, him versus Shawn Michaels would have been a good match even today.
Yeah. I can always get Ric Flair back in there.
Hopefully WWE learned their lesson from TNA's tapes.
That was
or
that
any
was
time other... Ric Flair comes out on TV, he's stumbling drunk and...
Drunk and trying to fuck Renee?
Yeah. God, poor Renee.
poor Renee. Yeah, that was the other thing I mentioned. I was like, the fans will turn on Sting when they realize it's not the Sting of 15 years ago. And then while a depressed and pissed off Sting makes his way up the ramp, Ric Flair comes out and kicks him in the balls. Gotcha again, Stinger! Woo!
Throws his suit jacket down, does an elbow drop on it, and does that strut back to the locker room.
Let's be honest, it's modern era Ric Flair. Does an elbow drop and then starts like writhing around on the ground, his arms fucking broken and flopping around. Woo! Get a medic!
By God, broke my arm!
God damn it. Kind of unfortunate too. I don't know if you've noticed that it looks like Kurt Angle is on his way to inherit the Ric Flair crown. I was thinking that because
a drunk moron or
yes, both.
He went through rehab.
Well, there were some pictures that circulated of Kurt Angle passed out on a plane.
Did anyone actually see those pictures?
No, they were shown backstage at SmackDown from numerous reports. Nobody actually saw it. Kurt Angle said he was just asleep. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that's what it was. But
I'm going to say that it's dirt cheap bullshit.
But now, Kurt Angle was on Jim Ross's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asked, he was like, you know, I'd like to go back to WWE, but I'm not allowed to talk to them before I can go back to WWE. And if I go back to WWE I wait before I resign with TNA, it could really hurt my place with TNA. And then he was like, I could pass their physical. My neck and my knees are not a problem, and I'm sober. I could pass their physical. And I'm reading this and I'm thinking, if he's right, that's awesome for Kurt. If he's wrong, he is like the new Ric Flair.
Now, I think,
no, I'm good. I'm good. I really gotta pay those debtors.
No, I think Kurt, that he should end his career in WWE and then become like an ambassador, because still having an Olympic gold medalist with the company, that still holds some amount of water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still something that WWE could say, hey, it's Kurt Angle, world champion, pro wrestler and amateur wrestler. Go to your local Les Schwab and get his autograph or whatever the hell they do with him.
I don't think it's any secret that Angle wants back in WWE. He's been saying it for years. I also don't think it's any secret that in their current condition and the way they are about nostalgia right now, they would take him back in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah.
Um,
they'd get him on the like Brock Lesnar contract where it's a lot of money for very few dates, so he doesn't bang himself up too much, and they could still get the, like, hey, look, it's Kurt Angle back.
Yeah. Given he doesn't quite have that kind of name power that Brock Lesnar has, he could still come and do the limited dates, but it's not like Lesnar, where in between dates he's just gonna go do other stuff.
Hide in the woods.
Hide in the woods with Sable. Brock Lesnar's got a pretty sweet deal when you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to see Angle come back and do the ambassador thing, but I'd also like to send him down to be a trainer for NXT.
Yeah, he'd be good in that role. As long as he, like, reminds the kids, like, when you're hurt, you don't have to keep going, necessarily. It's okay to take time off.
What'd you do, break your neck? Let me just give you this injection of Uncle Kurt's anti-hurty medicine. All right, you're good.
It'll make you big and strong. Don't worry, it's all legal.
What's that, Neville? You knocked out your two front teeth? You know, I won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck.
It's true.
It's damn true.
I don't know. I think that you sort of underestimate Angle's name power. He doesn't have the crossover appeal of a Brock Lesnar, but right. I think as far as WWE is concerned...
No, as far as WWE is concerned, he'll be... God, the fucking pop they would get for that.
Yeah.
I was saying that a few weeks ago when Rusev came out. They were doing the fucking coronation thing that went nowhere. I was like, could you imagine just how fucking unglued this crowd would come if Kurt Angle's music played right now?
Instead, we got a Jack Swagger debate.
No. This was like when they gave him the medal.
Yeah.
And he came out and just kind of stared awkwardly at the camera for 10 minutes. And we were like, guys, the main event should be starting right now. No, I did the fucking Swagger thing. Do you remember WrestleMania 30 when Cesaro betrayed Jack Swagger and won the fucking Battle Royale and he got this, like, huge crowd reaction and nobody gave a shit about Jack Swagger?
Mm-hmm.
How did we get to where we are now?
Yeah, how did we get to nobody giving a shit about Cesaro and everyone cheering their heads off for Jack Swagger?
First off, who the fuck wants to cheer for Jack Swagger? Rusev is such a black hole of charisma, he made people cheer for Jack Swagger. There are reports that WWE is holding off on Cesaro's push because they have opted to push Roman Reigns instead, and they want to wait on Cesaro so he has room to grow. You know, why push the guy the crowds are cheering for when you could push the guy they aren't?
They're cheering for Reigns.
They are now. They weren't when this decision was made, when the Shield was still a group.
They were cheering for him at Royal Rumble.
Were they?
Yeah.
I think they were just cheering for anyone who was not Batista at the Royal Rumble.
No, they were digging Reigns. They have been for the last few months.
Anyways, fucking, you've got the crowds white hot for Jack Swagger and Rusev. You want to get them pumped up for a match at Battleground? I know, a debate. If we call it a debate, the fans are going to get pissed. I know, a detente.
We'll call it a word that none of them know.
Detente, that means a mud fight, right? Are they going to fight in a pit of mud? I hope Lana gets in the pit of mud.
They already had their pit of mud for the year. Or through the KFC gravy, Vicky. Whatever the fuck that slop was.
It was the, I don't know. I got nothing. Some kind of fucking KFC partnership, sure. They've already got the fucking Twisted Tea and Sonic partnership. Boy, those ads have gotten obnoxious.
Yeah, that Adam Rose and Damian Sandow, just so blatant commercial for Sonic.
The best part about those, I noticed it with the Twisted Tea one. If you pay attention, Adam Rose could not possibly give less of a fuck. Just like, yeah, don't be a lemon.
Well, when you spend about 12 years in developmental, anytime you just get on actual television is a blessing.
Now, he is lucked out. Evidently, they're not very high on him, but with Santino having to retire because of neck injuries, they're basically just going to be like, Adam Rose, go be Santino.
But he's not as funny as Santino or as interesting.
Do you think they give a shit? They just need somebody to shove in that role.
Yeah. See, I don't see, like, even if Santino did retire, I don't see why they don't just keep him on as a comedy character. He doesn't need to wrestle.
He's not really wrestled regularly in years.
Yeah. Just come out, be a goof, and go back to the blocker room. You don't need to take bumps.
I would say if they still had like Saturday Morning Slam or something, there'd be a really good GM for that.
Hey,
Santino.
Hey, Mick Foley is the GM of Saturday Morning Slam. We cannot.
No, Mick Foley's contract expired, and he announced he was no longer the GM of Saturday Morning Slam. An easy decision when the show is canceled.
He's still the GM, damn it.
As long as they don't put it on TV, it's still relevant.
But yeah, they could have done, or they could do just about anything they wanted with him. He doesn't need to retire and just go off into the sunset.
Nah, he won't. He wants to stick around. I imagine they'll start using him on some of the pre-shows and whatnot. I imagine he'll wind up somewhere in the company. He'll show up backstage. He'll be goofing around. They'll probably wind up sticking him in the fucking developmental doing something. Or maybe as an ambassador. I don't know. I'm going to miss him. He did some good stuff in his time. I've seen some pictures of him back when he was Intercontinental Champion. It wouldn't have taken much to repackage him and make him a world champion. He definitely had the potential, I believe.
Well, go back and watch, I think it was Elimination Chamber in 2012.
Yes, where he was just super goddamn over in a match that he shouldn't have been in.
Yeah.
Yes.
When him and Daniel Bryan were the last two people, and like there were so many like near falls, and every time the crowd would lose their minds.
Yeah, that was because I remember watching that Royal Rumble, and we were so pissed because fucking Del Rio looked like he had won it, and then Santino rolls back in the ring,
yes.
And everybody goes, "Ah!" I can't imagine another scenario where you would be like, "Oh, thank God, Santino's gonna win this one." but that was like a 2012 was like a really weird kind of era for Santino. He was super fucking over with the crowd. They could have run him to the goddamn moon. So, of course, they jobbed him out and had him fucking do a bullying angle with Sheamus and John Morrison.
Of course. Yeah.
But it's okay, because Batista came back, and Brock Lesnar's about to come back, so plan C. Quick, what's your swerve? Who's plan C? Who could it possibly be?
Like I said, you said... Who did you say was Plan C? You said CM Punk.
CM Punk? Cesaro? Chavo Guerrero?
I said C for Callus, like Mean Mark Callus. For those of you who don't know, Tarv.
No. His real name is The Undertaker. He came out, and his mama looked at him, and the doctor said, "What's his name?" And from the other side of the room, you heard, "My Undertaker!"
Name for a child, but all right. Is your right to
doctor
name him
was just
you
like,
want?
Doctor was just like, whatever. I just do the dad's name for the four. Paul Bearer. Are you fucking kidding? Your name is not Paul Bearer. No.
Paul
fuck
Bearer
you.
Is not Undertaker's dad. He's Kane's dad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
God, get your history right.
But I still banged his mother. It's such an amazing story because that implies that there is a woman somewhere who saw Paul Bearer and. Said, "Hey, stud," and he was like, "Hello," and she was like, "I have to fuck him right now."
Hello.
Oh yes, was that good for you?
But anyway, Undertaker had.
It's Mike's like, "Get away from this! Get away from this!"
He had a brief stint in WCW before he became the Undertaker, and he was managed by Paul Bearer or Paul Bearer, Paul Heyman.
Never happened.
It did happen.
No.
I have pictures.
Paulie Dangerous.
Paulie Dangerously. Excuse me. Not Paul Heyman at all. No. It just looked and sounded and acted exactly like Paul Heyman.
And that wasn't the Undertaker. First off, Mean Mark Callis was a redhead.
Undertaker was a redhead.
No.
Yes.
Not, no.
When he comes back as the biker Undertaker, when he came back in that gimmick, he had red hair.
That was the spirit of the devil.
Oozing through his hair.
Oozing through his hair. That was the remnants of his demonic power hiding in his hair, getting stronger so it may return. What do you think he had to wear that bandana? Cover up the demon's eyes in his hair.
No.
Fuck it, I got nothing.
Yes, Undertaker was Mean Mark Callis in WCW. managed by Polly Dangerously, Paul Heyman. And yes, so Callus is Plan C.
Chris Benoit?
It can't be Brock Lesnar. Neither parts of his name start with a C.
Cock Lesnar? God damn. They have also confirmed Brock Lesnar will be on Raw July 21st.
Along with Flo Rida.
It's going to be a hell of a Raw. Flo Rida, Brock Lesnar, CM Punk will not be on the show.
Except I still like Brock Lesnar, so
yeah.
I don't see why everyone hates him.
I don't hate him. I just, they're trying to make a big surprise out of it. And it's, they're even like the stupidest fucking marks are going, it's Brock Lesnar.
It can't be Brock Lesnar. He doesn't have C names. It's Plan C.
Champion of UFC, Brock Lesnar.
Oh, but he's not champion of UFC anymore. You're wrong.
Contender for the WWE title, Brock Lesnar.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
Nope.
No.
It's Crash Holly.
Oh. It's only slightly less offensive than me saying it's Chris Benoit.
Crash Holly just died of a drug overdose. He didn't murder his family and kill himself.
Let's just imagine two, like, they rig up two, like, floating sheets to walk to, like,
no!
Cover the ring.
Stop talking right now.
And then the sheets fall, and they lift them up, and underneath them, two Sting masks. And then, it's just Randy Orton.
What?
Because fuck you. Because fuck you. Some guy in a Sting mask sitting in front row. It's just Randy Orton.
This is why they don't hire you.
Michael Cole's like, who could it be? And you can see like all the tattoos and shit on his arm. We don't know who that could possibly be. Is it Sting? It might be. He's wearing a Sting mask.
It's Zack Ryder. He's been on off TV for so long, and he's managed to get like identical tattoos to CM Punk.
Same tattoos, grew a beard out, slicked his hair back,
yeah.
Just came out. The fans know something's up because CM Punk never smiles.
Best in the world. Woo woo. I mean, no.
Nah. Oh, goddamn. I can't imagine why they don't hire us. Even better, they're like fucking drawn on with like Crayola markers, so when he fights, they start to smear. It's not CM Punk, his tattoos are fake.
I'm the real deal, bro.
Real broski. So getting away from wrestling a little bit, did you see Marvel's big announcement over the past week?
I did, and it's not a thing.
there's female Thor.
Yeah.
Which, Thor was a frog for a few weeks. I don't give a shit if he's a woman suddenly. It's not that big a deal.
My problem is the people, like, I don't know how it is in mythology, but at least in, like, comics, it's whoever holds the hammer is Thor.
Right.
So it's the concept of Thor is more of an idea than one person. So if this woman was able to pick up the hammer, she doesn't have to be She Thor or Lady Thor. She's Thor.
She's Thor. And that is going to be part of the story. They said it would be about the male Thor like losing his worthiness.
I mean, it's going to be all undone by Avengers 2 anyway, so I don't see why
exactly.
Anyone gives a shit, but.
And they did also come out Wednesday night on the Colbert Report, and Joe Quesada was there, and he finally confirmed what we all figured out a fucking month ago, that Falcon was going to replace Captain America. A fucking revelation that makes no goddamn sense. Wait, yes it does. Somebody was just in a movie that made a shitload of money for Marvel Comics.
And the fans went fucking nuts over Falcon.
I would like to point out a Civil War Fallen Son number 3, where they were trying to convince Hawkeye to replace the dead Captain America. And they explicitly said, you are the only person who has been able to use this shield and not lose an arm.
Yeah, you said that last week.
I did. I'm just pointing that out again.
I just want to reiterate.
I just want to re-fucking iterate. And then
maybe Falcon has been training, and he's managed to catch the shield without losing his arm, so he's fine.
Now the Avengers books are going to go through an 8-month time jump coming up. That way they can just kind of ignore all the stories they normally would have had to tell. So they can get everything reverted back to normal by May so they can do Avengers 2 in theaters. I'm snarky. They've got a new Avengers lineup for Avengers Now number 1 with, of course, You know, I don't care. I'm gonna fucking call him Captain Falcon. Captain Falcon, the new Thor.
He better have Infernus. A Falcon punch.
God, he fucking better. Infernus and Medusa, the Inhumans. Winter Soldier's on the team. He's getting a new ongoing as well. Deathlok, because he just showed up at some TV show that was really big. Man, his design looks familiar. I can't imagine where I've seen it before. Oops, did I say that out loud? Shit, my bad. Scarlet Witch, Doctor Strange, who in this picture has evidently not eaten for 5 years. God damn, he is skinny. Ant-Man, the superior Iron Man, which I am assuming is going to be Tony Stark's recently revealed brother he never knew about. Did you read that story?
No.
Where Tony Stark found out he was actually adopted and had a brother he didn't know about.
So wait, is the Tony Stark in the comics the same, like, in the movies where he's super intelligent like his father?
Yep, but it's not his father.
So it's not his father. So the intelligence is not inherited.
Maybe. They don't know who his father is. Give it a few months. We'll find out it's like fucking MODOK or the Red Skull or some bullshit. That's what I said as soon as the story happened. I was like, so which supervillain is going to be Tony's dad?
I would love if it was MODOK. Marvel, if you're listening, if you want to get my business again, make MODOK Iron Man's father.
Iron Man, son of MODOK. Also, Angela is part of the Avengers.
Angela?
The Spawn character that is now in Marvel.
What?
Oh, you don't know about that.
I don't know about this.
They did that Age of Ultron. It was Age of Ultron a few months ago. It was this event that time headache. I still don't really know what happened.
Time headache?
But basically, pretty much. Basically, there was so much time travel going on in the Marvel Universe that time finally just fucking exploded and then fixed itself, but shit wasn't necessarily right. And as a result, there are like little changes here and there.
Oh, they had their own crisis of bullshit.
Basically. But one of them was that the Angela character from Spawn, who Marvel now owns the rights to, because Neil Gaiman technically owns her rights, and he was like, yeah, Marvel, you can have her fuck image. She is now part of the Marvel Universe. She just kind of showed up like, well, don't know where I am, but here I am. That was the same event that put Galactus in the Ultimate Universe.
Mm-hmm.
So, she's going to be an Avenger now.
Does she have powers? Does she...
She's an angel.
Okay.
She has, like, flight and strength and a fucking big-ass sword and not a lot of clothes.
I'm looking her up now because I have no idea who this character is.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. Well, the internet will wait for you, Mike.
There we go. You can keep talking as I look this stuff up.
No, I'll wait.
I'll wait.
I'll cut the silence out and people will be like, man, he found that fast.
All right. Ally of Spawn and... Neil Gaiman was returning to Marvel and brought Angela with him. There you go.
Yay, Marvel Comics.
Because Marvel was like, we have Disney money now, so if you want to come fight for her image.
Well, they tried years ago to do that. Angela and I think Cagliostro, another Spawn character that, I could be wrong about that one, but there were two characters. Neil Gaiman wrote like, 2 or 3 issues of Spawn back when it first started, like right when it got really fucking hot. Mm-hmm. And then a few years later, when Todd McFarlane stopped paying Neil Gaiman royalty checks for the characters he created in those issues, Neil Gaiman was like, well, I'll just sue you for them. And he got the rights to the characters.
And then gave them to Marvel.
And then was like, here you go, Joe Quesada. Meanwhile, Todd McFarlane just has his balls because he bought
a bunch of baseballs.
Bunch of baseballs back in the day. That's a joke that's not as funny now as it was in 1999.
That was hilarious 15 years ago.
Do you remember that was all over the news? Somebody bought Mark McGwire's ball and nobody knew who.
Yeah.
And then were you sitting in the living room when they finally said on the news it was Todd McFarlane? And you were excited because you knew who that was, but your dad was like, who the fuck is Todd McFarlane? I was in the living room like, yeah, fuck you, Dad. I know everything now.
I know the guy who bought Mark McGwire's ball, and you don't. I'm smarter than you. Suck it, old man.
It was such a weird moment, though, because even I was like, huh?
I'm sure he's kicking himself over buying that ball now that the home run record's been, like, beaten twice since then.
Yeah.
You still got that useless ball, though, Todd. Don't let it. No one can take that away from you. Maybe
So,
actually go play baseball with it, because God knows you're not drawing or writing any comics.
no, he does like to come out of retirement every once in a while and do a little bit of drawing, but he spends most of his time. I don't know. I like to imagine sitting in his like palatial maple leaf shaped Canadian estate, eating Tim Hortons and watching hockey, eh? Calling people up, being like, "Did you see the Spawn movie? I'm so sorry." I haven't watched that movie in a very long time, but I remember I loved it when it first came out. I feel like that opinion has probably changed by now. I feel like if I watched today, I would probably be like, "God damn, Chris, what were you thinking?"
It's not a good movie. It's not good.
That was like the only thing we had as comic geeks back then. There weren't like, I mean, the only other comic book movie you had out around that time was Batman and Robin.
Blade come out around the same time?
Blade was rated R, and my parents were very
Oh,
overprotective.
yeah.
I did not see Blade for a very long time. And when I did, it was kind of like, well, that was good, but that wasn't anything what the comic book character was like. It is now, because movie.
Because they have to make the comic universe mirror the movie universe as closely as possible,
Why do you do that, Marvel? Our fans are
or
stupid.
else people will get confused because they can't tell the difference between comic books and movies.
That's why Superman now has to wear armor and be angsty.
That's why they dug up Nick Fury's black son that is named Nick Fury and is missing the exact same eye.
Fun fact, the current Marvel event, Original Sin, seems to be solely a reason to kill the original Nick Fury in a blaze of glory. Have I discussed any of this with you?
No. What is this
We'll
called
talk
again?
about this real quick. The event is called Original Sin. The plot is actually pretty interesting. The body of the Watcher is found on the moon. Somebody shot the Watcher and killed him.
How? I thought they lived outside of, like.
Exactly, that's the point. It's a murder mystery trying to figure out who shot the Watcher. Really cool premise. Here's the thing. 6 issues in, not even a fucking suspect has been identified. They found there is a villain, the Orb. Have you heard of the Orb? As I punch my microphone. It is a super villain who's there. When they find the Watcher's body, they realize somebody has stolen the Watcher's eyes. And the eyes, it turns out, if you get too close to them, the eyes may detonate and will like unveil all of the secrets of the lives of those around you. Thus resulting in a bunch of really fucking angsty tie-in stories. Like the story where Bruce Banner realizes he's the Incredible Hulk because he pissed off Tony Stark, who tampered with the gamma bomb that blew up. Or the Fantastic Four one, where you find out that one of the devices that was perfectly calibrated to restore Ben Grimm to normal didn't work because 10 minutes beforehand, Johnny Storm, just like kind of screwing around, sat in the chair and offset the perfectly calibrated device. And Reed Richards was just like, well, fuck it, we won't tell him. For like, seriously, Reed was like, you fucking dumbass, that was perfectly calibrated. Johnny's like, oh my god, I didn't know. What do we tell Ben? And Reed's like, nah, fuck it.
So the whole story is our universe wouldn't exist if everyone in it wasn't a complete asshole.
Exactly. Original douchebag. So, anyways, you have this group of heroes. Let me see if I can remember who they are off the top of my head. Gamora, Black Panther, Winter Soldier, Moon Knight, Doctor Strange, Ant-Man. There's one I'm oh, the Punisher. Which was an interesting group of characters, because like for 2 issues you have like the Punisher and Doctor Strange working together, and you're reading this like there is no scenario in which this happens.
Until you said the Punisher, I was like, okay, so they dug up a bunch of C-listers that they kind of just forgot they owned.
Yeah.
Like, we should dust these guys off and use them.
Oh, and Rocket Raccoon's there too, by accident. I'm sure he didn't accidentally show up because he's starring in a popular movie this summer.
What? Don't be silly.
You know, that's a trend that happens with every Marvel movie, but when it's like a C-list property like Guardians of the Galaxy, it gets really
Yeah,
obvious.
makes it very overt. Rocket Raccoon, what are you doing here?
Rocket Raccoon didn't show up in publication for 20 years, and now he's in every book. So,
He's a key factor in this big crossover event, and he has his own book.
So they're trying to figure out who killed the Watcher. The Winter Soldier walks into a room and kills Nick Fury and cuts his head off. And then all these people rendezvous on the on this ship in space. They find out that Nick Fury, the Winter Soldier, killed was a life model decoy that was so incredibly sophisticated.
Just like every other time that Nick Fury has died?
Yeah. But this one was more sophisticated than any they've ever seen before. They all show up. They find Nick Fury, who is now like 80 years old. The infinity formula that was keeping him young has wore off, and now he is rapidly aging. He says he wakes up every day, and he's a few years older, and he doesn't have many mornings left, and blah, 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 blah. And then there's like a whole issue that it reveals that from the 60s on, Nick Fury has been traveling the galaxy killing people who are killing like aliens or superpowered entities who are a threat to Earth. That is his original sin. There's even like this weird like 2-page sequence where he's setting up for a big like sniper kill and aiming and take shot. And then he goes, "No, we're going to let this one go a little bit. I think he's something special." And you find out it's Spider-Man. "No, we're not going to kill this one." So now like the Avengers just showed up on this space station.
It's lucky
and Nick Fury's
had
like
this revelation about one of their biggest characters.
Right. Could you imagine if, like, Amazing Spider-Man number 4 in 1960 just gets fucking shot in the face?
He swings down, saves somebody from getting hit by a car. "Thanks, Spider-Man. You're welcome, citizen. Kablam!" Nick Fury's up on a roof.
That's the book.
End of that. No more of his bullshit.
So, we also find out the Watcher and Nick Fury didn't really like each other. But Nick Fury didn't kill the Watcher. He knows who, but he hasn't said who yet because there's still another issue left of the fucking series. Number 6 of 7 came out Wednesday, and Nick Fury's like, "By the way, I'm going to die soon, and I got all of you on the station because one of you are going to replace me."
Wait, I thought his son replaced him.
No, no, no. As his, like, top secret fly around space and kill people who are a threat person.
Someone has to be the intergalactic bounty hunter.
Someone has to be Marvel's Boba Fett. They got fucking Star Wars now. Why can't it just actually be Boba Fett? Fuck it. I mean, go all out.
Watch that be seven is that Nick Fury points into the crowd. He's like, "You!" And they're all kind of looking at each other like, "What?" And then they spread out and Boba Fett's standing behind him like, "Hi!"
Look, I'm just saying, you want to sell some books? Boba Fett starts showing up.
God.
It's such a terribly ridiculous idea that you can't help but love it.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding the concept of the Watcher in that, like, he's this being that sort of exists outside of our existence. So how could he just get killed?
He does both. He exists, like, in and out of our existence. They also found out he had this armory that comprised of, like, all the super weapons you've seen in the Marvel Universe ever that he, like, you know, when the Watcher shows up and goes, "No.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to act, but no." And takes their shit and leaves. And it turns out somebody stole, like, you know, all of those.
And then also, just because he is this sort of the god figure, like, him and Nick Fury don't like each other. Like, isn't he sort of beyond feelings of like and dislike?
Shh. Bendis. That's Marvel Comics in a nutshell right now. You've got the same thing going on over in X-Men. Wednesday's issue of Uncanny X-Men. They had hyped this fucking thing for months. The last will and testament of Charles Xavier. And it was going to be, they finally, somebody, it's like She-Hulk shows up. And she's like, "We've got to read Xavier's will."
Oh, he's still dead.
Yeah, he's like totally legit dead. They actually do that. She-Hulk's like, "Look, before I read this, I got to ask. He's really dead, right?" And they were like, yeah. Yeah, he's dead.
As far as right now, yes.
For now. So, I mean, like, I'd been looking forward to it because they made a big deal of that. And I was like, I can't wait to see what this does. Because usually when they make a big deal of an X-Men thing, it at least changes things up for a few months. Fucking 6 months of hype. Don't even read the fucking will in the issue. I'm like, I'm sitting here reading it and I'm pissed because they didn't read it, but I'm pissed at myself because I'm like, why did you think an X-Men book was going to address the issue at hand in one book? They got to pad this out for a 6-issue trade.
They're not going to actually get to the will until like a year from now. What is today? For shoot, today is July 16th, 2014. I want someone out there, Tarv, to remind us on July 16th, 2015, if they've actually read the fucking will yet.
Just imagine. On July 16th, 2015, Professor Xavier reads his own will.
Just in time for Age of Apocalypse.
I said, don't burn my fucking body. I'm probably coming back. Whenever I think of Professor Xavier dying, I'm always reminded of that one, like, recap page. You remember the one. Professor Xavier, having been shot in the head, is recovering with the help of Magneto.
Having been shot right in the face.
I'm just reading that, and I'm thinking, Marvel, I feel like you missed a step here.
Yeah. That's why when he died this last time, I was like, oh, again? And everyone's like, no, they killed Professor X. I'm like, yeah, they killed him before. They shot him in the face. In the face!
Well, I mean, like, in the, like, 12th issue of Uncanny X-Men, 60 fucking years ago, he died. And then he came back to life. Well, no, he showed back up. And he was like, oh, no, that was an alien that I had asked to impersonate me. I'm fine. And this was, like, a year and a half later, he's, no, I'm cool. Meanwhile, in the 100th anniversary X-Men issue, it's like Cyclops is president, and he's married to Emma Frost, and then she disappears, and all these other people start disappearing, and it turns out it's the Phoenix.
Oh.
Who is like, if you're president, you're gonna, like, really fuck shit up. And he's like, so what are you gonna do? He's like, I'm gonna fucking change time. He's like, will I be happy? She's like, you're going to get your wildest desire, and it's like him in the fucking 70s with Professor X and Jean. And I'm like, God damn it. God damn it, X-Men. X-Men does the same thing with their fucking properties that WWE does with the Attitude Era. Everything is the 80s.
Oh, God.
I think it's time to call this one, Mike.
Hey, remember how rad it was when they did this? Yeah, that was a good time. Wish we could go
back
to that.
Let's just do it again. Wait a minute, we have time travel.
Unfortunately, the WWE can't actually, like, heal necks and stuff, so Austin is never coming back.
The last X-Men story they did had a... There was a story with, like, X-Men from the future coming back in time, and it turned out they were evil, because X-Men from the future. But then there were other X-Men from the future, and they were not evil, because X-Men from the future.
Why is everyone from the future evil?
But the other X-Men weren't evil, and then it turned out the X-Men who were evil weren't evil because they were being mind-controlled by the son of Professor Xavier, who is evil, except for the one guy that was the son of Mystique and Wolverine, because he's batshit insane.
My nose is bleeding.
So they beat the shit out of them, they capture the future Professor Xavier, and they send him to the raft, and they're like, don't fucking take the thing that dampens his powers off him, don't do anything, just fucking leave him alone. He's like, I need to write a letter. They let him write a letter, which in true Back to the Future style, he has delivered to his future self just before they go back in time that details how they lost and how not to lose. Like the last page of the book is like 20 years in the future. And the guy that is like Wolverine and Mystique's son is like, we got to go back in the past and fucking kill him now. And then he's like, oh, a letter. Hey, this says we already did that, and we fucking got our asses kicked, but here's how to do it and not get our asses kicked.
Here's how to not lose, so we should read this letter and then do it again.
God damn it, X-Men, I hate you so fucking much. Well,
this is why I still have not gone to see Days of Future Past.
Remember, if you like this podcast, be sure to subscribe to youtube.com/homeworldvideo, where I'm doing my Let's Play of LEGO Marvel Super Heroes, which makes way more sense than the current state of the X-Men does.
Yes, all of the characters suddenly being made out of plastic blocks makes more sense than anything that X-Men is doing.
What's sad is you're right. That's also where you can watch Super Sentai Single Shots. This coming Wednesday will be Sun Vulcan.
Yay.
And, join us next week for another room full of nerd stuff. Oh, you can subscribe to youtube.com/nodicemike, where he plays Ghostbusters and Left 4 Dead. And at some point, we're going to play Gears of War. I don't know when.
Oh,
eventually.
Yeah, we should get together and do that.
We should do that at some point. I feel like we could probably knock that out in a day.
Yeah.
Maybe two.
They're not very long games, especially with multiplayer. We could probably do it in a couple days.
Yeah, we'll figure it out at some point. And then at JC Baggy, at No Dice Mike. I'm sitting here pointing like people can see me pointing.
Like you're pointing at yourself and then pointing at the screen?
Yes.
Like, I made JC Baggy. That's No Dice Mike.
You're pointing right now, aren't you?
I was to mock you, but you can't see me either. So this is what talking about X-Men does to people. Don't do it.
Any final thoughts, Mike?
My head hurts. This whole conversation has been exactly why I stopped buying Marvel stuff.
For my final thought, I would just like to let you all know that I am an animal in bed. Unfortunately, that animal is a koala, and I sleep 22 hours a day.
The animal is a sloth.
Thanks, Tarf. We'll see you guys next week.
Climb out of bed once a week to take a shit.